Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
I think we are starting the funeral proceedings early on this season. I don't know. We will have to see what Andy has to say from his take, because as we know, his favorite player made the error that led to the goal. Before getting into all of that, if you want to join the psychiatric ward of Roma supporters, patreon.com/RomaPress, and of course at @IsRomaPress for YouTube. Please like, subscribe. That way we get €2 of advert money so Andy and I can each have the required dosage of the medication to get us through this stuff. And what am I supposed to say? Inter, they beat Roma 1-0. If you just want to talk about specialty, the quintessential IS Roma experience, we have Pellegrini hitting the post in the first half. Or did it go, or did Sommer save it when it was on that tight angle?
I thought Sommer got it.
Okay. We had that. We have your boy, the Polish sensation, doing things that, you know, even by his standards, you just look and you think, you just look on jaw agape, completely devoid.
Mind you, he went and scored for the Polish national team just 5 days ago.
You want to talk of Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah.
It is mind-boggling how somebody can be so devoid of contribution for club versus country. Now, we have seen... this is a phenomenon that is not strictly related to Serie A and in this country, but I just, for the life of me, cannot, I can't, it just hurts all the more because you see him being so fluid, so comfortable with the Polish national team, and then you see him go to IS Roma and be
a black hole.
Yes, it is so deflating to watch him because he reminds me of the post 6 month honeymoon period with Juan Iturbe, where the guy just, you, if I can't clearly name a part of your game at which you excel, you are of no use to me just as a player. If I can't find one area of your game where I can say definitively you do A, you do B, you do C well, we are wasting our time with you. And I feel, I mean, Andy, the first thought I had after Zaleski does the goal, Lautaro finds the back of the net, was the thought of him signing a contract and being at Roma for even another month, never mind multiple seasons.
A month. What are you going to do? You're not going to kick him out before January. That's not going to happen, unfortunately. So a month
I will help him find a new team. Listen. Kostas Manolas is scoring 5 goals and,
an assist.
Fourth. And in the fourth tier or fifth tier, I don't know, I've got a Greek professional.
Yeah, as a striker.
Nikola, go live your best life, man. I mean, Andy, think of some of the Polish second and third tier teams that guy could score 50 goals with in a season. I'm sure if Kostas Manolas can do that.
But even in Poland, if he were to go to Poland right now, he'd be having a great time, you know, enjoying the motherland and being a quality player in a lesser league. But clearly tonight, you know, as you say, and it feels like we've said it so many times, John, how many times have we come on here and said we got the Roma experience? Because tonight was, in fact, the quintessential Roma experience. The quintessential Roma experience is losing to Inter at home 1-0. And where you can't even say that Inter were that much better of a team.
No.
Inter didn't really show any conviction. Inter, so far, have been probably the team that has yet to prove to be on par with the Inter side that we saw last year. So far, they seem a bit hangover. They seem a bit too confident of themselves. They seem a bit lost. But Roma, on the other hand, are not enough of a team to hurt them. So tonight, the game might as well have ended 0-0. I think 1-0, fine. It's just another kick in the nuts, which we've been subjected to many times this season. The thing about it is, once again, it is the quintessential Roma experience, because you lose tonight, not because you played worse than Inter, but because you made a mistake. And we've made those mistakes so many times in these opening weeks that there's, I mean, I can barely count them on both hands. It's really unprecedented how disorganized this team is, how lost this team is right now. I thought that if you got a result from tonight, it would have been a miracle. The result that we got was entirely predictable. There's no surprise about tonight. That's the thing. And how many times have we said it already?
I do agree that even a draw would have been a good result. I will maintain that when you have results like this, the season, you see the final score and you think to yourself, okay, competitive match, you know, dust yourself off, you can at least accept it. But man, I look at the performance, and I'm looking at multiple websites right now. I found only one that said Inter had a better XG than Roma. Right now SofaScore has 1.14 XG to Roma, 1.04 to Inter. And I even think of all of the episodes. I think of the individual moments. That match is lost because, yes, a lack of goals, which at some point, I don't even know how it gets addressed. Is this tactics? Is this mental? I don't know what this. I don't know anymore. I'm out of answers. But tonight you lose because of a singular mistake, of a singular play by a singular player who is just, again, a black hole.
I want to just defend hole. Because the mistake is also made by Salik. So it's Zaleski and Salik. And then obviously there is that deviation of Paulo Dybala. So as always, the start, when it comes to getting your ass kicked at the worst possible time, Roma excel at that. Like the stars align.
Yes, they do excel at that. My problem is, though, is just remove that one episode and you probably have many people saying, well, Roma deserves something from that more than Inter. I suppose if you want to include the near Borghino of Mkhitaryan in the first half where he hits the crossbar, okay, fine. But, I mean, Roma, they're right there, man. I mean, if you watch tonight, just remove the final score. Is anybody truly thinking to themselves, okay, wow, this is the team that won the Scudetto last year, and this is the team that finished, what, seventh or eighth, or no, sixth or something, whatever it was, for the 25th consecutive season in a row. No, nobody is saying that. Nobody, if you are objectively watching tonight, you did not see an enormous gulf, okay, in quality. I would even say concreteness. I mean, you had Inter just not really creating a whole lot. Again, Mkhitaryan off the crossbar, Lautaro taking full advantage of the mistake. There is nobody coming away saying, yes, I can clearly tell that one of these teams lifted a trophy last season. Meanwhile, the other had to settle for the seventh consecutive time outside the top four. Like there's nobody watching that tonight and objectively coming away with that conclusion. And yet I would say that's exactly why Roma have been the way they have been for all of these years. They are superficial. They are not concrete. When there is even the hint of difficulty, they melt. Man, this thing with the lack of goals, I have to tell you, if you just look at what they did in the summer, now, just because you spend a lot on a department in the summer, it's not going to automatically translate to goals. Nobody, even a modicum of understanding of football, is going to say that. However, I would say there should be some improvements. There should be clear progress. There should be strides being made, or at least a clear direction as to how the attack wants to play. Andy Dovbik. You know, they have those commercials. I get fed this commercial on YouTube all the time, and I'm not using this in a, I'm not being facetious when I say this, but I get those like commercials to donate to all these certain charities for homeless children, starving children, global hunger or something. Nobody is starving more than Artem Dovbik. That guy is on an island. He's Tom Hanks. He is whatever metaphor from cinema you want to use. On an island on his own. Andy.
And mind you, he's getting more than what he used to get under De Rossi. So for all the people that are already jumping on the bandwagon and trying to tell the story of how everything was beautiful under De Rossi, no, it wasn't. Dovbyk under De Rossi was arguably in a worse position than he is now, which says a lot about the state of this team.
Why though? I need somebody to explain this to me like I'm five. Just explain to me why they cannot score goals. Why? Andy, they showed the number of shots, and I was watching on the zone. I'm assuming you were too. They showed who leads Serie A in most shots. And you look, and in fact, Roma have an XG on the season very close to that of Inter. And then you look at the table, you think, oof, that says a lot about one of these two teams who have similar shots and XG. One of them, only one of them, is getting results. I don't know how you can get them to put the bread into the basket. I am out of ideas. I am out of any semblance of, you know, theories as to why this stuff isn't working. Technical, do we change this guy for that guy? Do we move him there, move him there? Yeah, but we have people in the group chat talking about formation changes, man. If you think of formation changes, just oh my, holy shit, the 4-2-3-1 now. Oh my God, problem solved. Holy shit, why didn't we think of that sooner? Oh my God, why didn't we do that sooner? Oh my, that's not going to fix it. It's not going to change. This is what sucks, you know. At least, you know, 2017, 2018.
Are you okay? Do you need...
No, I'm about to have like a... this might be the first time a brain aneurysm occurs on the...
I think you're about to go in for a coronary.
You know, you see Robin Olsen conceding goals from 50 yards away with two bounces. Okay, fine. You lose to Genoa because of that. I can live with things like that because evident there is a root cause to the symptom. There is a very clear and evident and does not require any sort of deep analysis as to why we are not getting certain results. The goalkeeper is crap. Okay, fine. We got a new goalkeeper in the summer. We don't have enough central defenders to play three at the back. Okay, fine. We get more central. Okay. I can't tell you what the problem is. It's just you have 11. Andy, do we just have a team of 11 mediocre players? Because I just, that's what it feels like.
It's not even that because you can basically look at any team that has had an up and down start to the season, and you can start saying, well, look at Milan. Milan up until last night when they went to get up against the Udinese and sort of won against all odds. And with the exception of that derby, the Milan have been horrible. But the narrative changes as soon as you're able to get the results you need, you know? And the same thing for Atalanta. Atalanta have been up and down all the time, you know? But at the same time, they were able to get the results they needed in certain moments, certain key moments. Roma so far, anytime that the discourse has been, they need to show us something because otherwise, we're hopeless. They've come up short. You could argue that on certain occasions, like against Monza, for example, a moment where it could have been the turning point, getting that penalty for Tommaso Baldanzi, perhaps winning that game could have been a turning point. But you come up short, and so far, that's been the reality: is that no matter who plays out there, no matter whether Manu Kone starts, whether Pizzilli starts, whether Dovbyk rests and Shomurodov starts in the Europa League, whatever, whether you play with Hermoso at the back, whether you have Angelino a bit forward, whether you reinstate Zaleski, the answer is that this is a team that's not been given a clear structure for more than a week. I mean, let's remember what Daniele De Rossi was doing at the start of the season. He was constantly changing the lineup. Okay, find me a lineup that is consistent this season. There is the names keep changing. There is no clear sense of order. Find me a player who, more than two players who have been performing, except for perhaps Angelino and Dovbig as of recently, and Miles VR, obviously. It's been not only, the problem is Zaleski is not the only black hole. The whole team is a black hole in the sense that the whole team lacks a structure, something that allows them to fall back on. Because right now, when things go sour or when things are not working, you don't really know what the hell you can expect from this team. You know, you don't really know if you can expect this team to handle it, to get the result they want. You don't know if this team has the guts to sustain pressure from the opponent. That's the thing, is we are looking at a team under Ivan Juric, who is a mismatch of all these ideas, of all these concepts that were brought in with Daniele De Rossi, a whole summer focused on identifying certain things that De Rossi wanted the team to address. And then everything was blown up with De Rossi leaving. And now Juric is patching things up. At the same time, he has the tall task of delivering results. And yet this team just doesn't have enough to get those results because, you know, tonight was predictable. If you put up a best Inter side against Roma, the Inter is always going to win. That's not the issue. The issue is that time and time again, Roma have failed to send a message because the only way, as Juric just said, the only way to get the fans on your side and to sort of resolve this situation and also get everybody performing is to get a good run of results, you know? Win here, win here, win here. Win the next three games. Win the next four games, you know? But the important thing is the result because that's the only thing that will get these guys out of the slump they're in. It's not one player. It's the whole team, and it's the whole environment. It's right now it's rotten. It's rotten. Nothing is working, both on and off the pitch. That's the issue.
That is absolutely the issue. There is something you've mentioned it a few times so far this season about when things get difficult. This team is just MIA, which is kind of bizarre if you think about it, because I would say of the many flaws that we saw, particularly in the latter stages of the Roma Jose Mourinho, you can at least say when things got, I just think back to that first meeting against Bayer Leverkusen. You want to talk of just being under immense pressure and never, you bend, but you never break. Man, this team, when it comes to errors, individual mistakes, and having to pay for said mistakes, they seem to get punished at a rate of 5 compared to other teams. You know, Roma turned the ball over. They conceded a goal. Roma, you know, refereeing mistake on Baldanzi, for instance. It doesn't go their way. It just seems like just when there's the slightest hint of difficulty or adversity, they have a very difficult time adapting to it, which is so, again, bizarre to me because, like, you go to Germany in Europa League and you give up almost 30 shots to the opponent compared to your one, and you maintain the clean sheet. You are perfectly and absolutely on point with every single tactical requirement. You don't get a single thing wrong. And, you know, even in April, they go to San Siro. I mean, spot on, no mistakes. When things get difficult, they bend, but they never break. I cannot comprehend how you have many of the same players that were able to do that under Jose Mourinho, and yet now, with him not at the helm, does that matter? Sure, to a certain degree, of course it does. But that's also a mentality thing. That's a character thing. I cannot even pretend like I understand how that's possible from one manager to the next, because it's a mental thing. It's a character thing. I don't get it at all. And it terrifies me because it is not something that just one day you get it. Oh my gosh. Kind of like scoring goals. Like, are we just going to wank up and Roma go from, what is it, 15 shots per attempt, or I'm sorry, 15 attempts per goal or something like that, some absurd, crazy number. Are we just going to wake up tomorrow and all of a sudden, every three shots they get a goal? I don't understand. It seems every single error, every single mistake, they are made to pay. The one thing that happens tonight, Zalewski, Celik, you pay for it. You pay for it. And I don't even know where that begins, how that gets fixed, if it even can be fixed. What are we to make of this? Or how do you make sense of it? Because again, if it was an entirely new team, I could say, okay, understandable, young players, whatever the reasoning may be. I just can't, though, when you have Pellegrini, Dybala, Mancini, Cristante, Celik. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. And that's the part that kills me in all this. You know, there's just no clear symptom here. There's no clear resolution. And I guess that sort of leads me to the next thing where, you know, it feels like, in a way, I know this is only the second loss.
You're reiterating something. I mean, you're bringing up those games against Leverkusen, sure, but those are the same players that after Budapest, when we thought they were going to make the leap, they didn't make the leap. You know,
very true. Yes.
So why you're basically reiterating a fear that we already had a year ago. A puzzle which we already posed ourselves exactly a year ago when things with Jose Mourinho on the bench were going sour, were going really bad. And these were the same players that we thought, well, how is it possible? They were there. They played in Budapest. They saw how awful it was to come out defeated from that stadium. And we thought that after that, we would see a reaction. We didn't get that reaction. So right now, I don't have more expectations for, say, Pellegrini than I do for Pizzilli. In my opinion, everybody in this team is more or less on the same level in terms of just where they are mentally. Because right now, it's pretty evident everybody's crushed. Nothing's working. You're also incredibly unlucky. The few moments where you can turn it around, you are unlucky. It's undeniable. So that always plays a small role, but a key role nonetheless in how you feel as a team, in the momentum that you gain, in how you play, in the chances you create, and how confident you are when you go up against the opponent. And right now for Roma, nothing's working. So not only are they not working as a team, but also the circumstances, the context, the chances, it seems like everything's blowing up in their faces. So it's for me also, it's a sad sight. I know the easiest reaction is to pile on the team, but actually, honestly, I look at these players, they go up to the curva, they want to applaud the fans, and they get the same response time and time again. But the thing about it is that... In my opinion, they're trying really hard. That's the thing. I don't see laziness. I see mistakes, which is different. I see lapses, mental lapses, but it's not laziness. It's pressure. It's discomfort. It's stress. It's stuff that makes these guys the team they are, which is shambolic, all over the place. That's the difference between them and basically every single other opponent they face so far.
Well, do we begin the funeral then? I mean, this season, we, if you look at the patrons right now, you would have thought that, I don't know, we were in the movie Armageddon, where towards the end, everybody thinks the asteroid is about to come, and you see people going in underground bunkers. You see families huddling together. This a match like this has happened time and time again. So it's not even necessarily from tonight. For me, at least,
right.
The biggest issue with tonight is you lose again. It comes from a singular episode. And there's no clear deficiency that needs to be fixed. It is, I completely agree with you when it comes to this laziness. I mean, the effort is not so, in a way, I would almost feel better if the lack of effort.
Yeah. If you saw these players walk on the pitch, sure.
Yes.
But these guys are playing. Like even Dovbyk, who receives absolutely nothing all game long, he still works his ass off.
Yes. That's
undeniable. So.
Yeah, I mean, the amount that he tracks back, man, what he will do to hold up the ball, even into the latter stages of the match, it is impressive. This is not at all a question or even the suspicion of lack of effort or even the players not believing in the manager. Because I if you just look at the way they speak of Juric, I mean, nobody is really – it doesn't seem like there is – a lack of understanding between player and manager. That doesn't seem to be it at all. Clearly, this is about, I want to say it's as simple as they're missing just that final piece, that final step. They get it all the way into the opponent's area and they just can't find the back of the net. But it almost seems like they are so within their own heads almost. You know, when you see somebody overthinking, almost afraid to make mistakes. Part of me thinks that's what it is, but I think I'm just trying to find an answer to make myself feel better that there is something that once we pinpoint it, it can be resolved.
I think there has to be Juric has to embrace the chaos in the sense that if nothing right now is working, you have to keep trying. So. You know, I'm not saying rotate the lineup every game, but really try to identify the few things that are working, you know, really try to see what works for you, such as Enzo Lefebvre is back. You like Enzo Lefebvre. Juric has said it time and time again that for him, Enzo Lefebvre is a midfielder that fulfills his requirements for the role, that fulfills what he's looking for in a midfielder. So have him play. Now that he's back, have him play.
Goodbye, Kone. That's what you're saying, yeah?
No, I'm not saying goodbye. No, I'm not saying goodbye to Kone. I'm perhaps saying goodbye to Brian Cristante.
Man. You want that man took more strays tonight.
I realize
make
that.
Fun of him, but now I think others have taken it to a whole new level with the guy. I mean, but he walked the ball into Roma's net on his own.
Absolutely. The thing about it is that what I'm advocating for is just identifying the things that work for you, you know, not rotating for the sake of rotating, but if you have guys that give you the answers, then stick to them. Right now, you have to stick to certainties. You have to stick to also guys that are in form. So if Lefebvre works for you, if Kone works for you, if Baldanzi works for you, have them. Play, make them the stars of the show, because right now this is a shit show. So there's not really, you know, like make someone in this team feel important, because right now the guys that are good are Zviar, Ndika, Angelino, and sometimes Dovbyk if you give him a chance to touch the ball. That's four players. That's four players in the long list of players that are just dying to play. Guy like Tomas Baldanzi is dying to play. Pizzilli, Lefebvre now, after sitting out 2 months, you know, you have to identify what works for you, because right now you're running out of options by just, you know, relying on the same old, or chaotically shuffling your cards. You're not going to get the answers you need. So right now, you know, the important thing is dedication, which this team is showing. Again, these guys are applying themselves. There is a lot of dedication. They work their asses off. This team is not taking it easy. But then you need quality. You need quality. You need some kind of youthfulness, some kind of creativity, something that gives you that spark that then propels you forward. Because right now we are banging against the wall time and time again. We're banging against the wall. It's crazy, but that it is I think the team is playing like that. Like it's so evident that they're just repeatedly smashing against the wall. They need always 14, 15 shots to get one goal. They can hardly score anything. They hit the crossbar, hit the post, concede stupid goals, make stupid mistakes, and it's rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. It's every game, more or less over the last few weeks, has been very, very similar. So there are clear issues that can be addressed, that need to be addressed. But you have to do it with guys that inspire you, okay? That's the thing. So Mancini, Cristante, they need to take a step back, not because they're shit. I'm not saying that, but because some things are not working. And sometimes it's okay to admit that some of the guys that used to give you answers or you think could give you answers are not doing that. They're creating more problems. A guy like Mancini, I mean, the amount of time that he spends with the ball at his feet,
yes,
complicates things for Roma enormously. So you have to send a message. Because right now fans are expecting message, the media are expecting message, the standings, the league standings are expecting message, and Roma time and time again have failed to deliver that message. It has been disappointment after disappointment after disappointment. Tonight I wouldn't even call it a disappointment because again it was predictable. But at some point in time you have to react. I need to see this team react. I need to see them tell me that they are alive and kicking.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing here where the frustrating part is like tonight, you're so close throughout that entire match. There is nobody watching tonight and coming away with the conclusion that Roma is, you know, 1,000 yards behind this Inter in terms of technical ability, in terms of quality. There was nothing on display, in my opinion, from tonight that says to you, you have one team on one side of the ratings versus another that is the defending champion, and there's just such a gap between these two that for Roma to be able to come away with anything tonight would be, you know, akin to a miracle. Now, when it's Inter, you always take the result, even if it, you know, it would be just 1 point. I think we all would have taken that tonight. That is where the frustrating part in all of this is for me, that you're right there. You're right there. You are not being played off of the pitch. Like, for instance, we remember the 4-2 last season between Roma and Inter. That was one where you say to yourself, we remember how good Roma played for, what, 60 minutes in that? And then all it took was for Inter and their quality to just snap on. And we saw what the dramatic difference.
Yeah, there was a gulf. There was a gulf. Yeah, there was a gulf. There was a gulf.
Mm-hmm. Now I look at tonight and I think to myself, man, it's you lose and you come away empty-handed tonight because of a single episode. Yet that has been the case for most of the season. So I don't know how to digest that. Does it mean Roma are just missing that last step? Or does it mean maybe they really are just crap and we've had our expectations were perhaps once again for the umpteenth time and the 1,000th season in a row, the expectations were not completely in alignment with what the true quality of the team is? That wouldn't be the first time. It certainly wouldn't be the last. I don't think anybody, though, coming into the season would have expected Roma's beginning, first 7 to 8 matches of the season to look like this. I don't think any of us would have sent that. So let's end it with that. What is it? Are they crap or what? Are they just missing it? Because they are right there. That's frustrating part in all this. I feel better if it was 5-0. Then we can say, yes, this team is shit. Eusebio Di Francesco, don't tell me that we're right there. You just saw 7-1 in the Coppa Italia to Fiorentina.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It's very difficult to right now come away with a clear take on this team. It's very complicated, especially if you take into account all the excitement that was built up over the summer. Yeah. Everything sort of climaxed with that decision to fire De Rossi after the four games. It's everything there. Because even the criticism, the skepticism that took place in those opening four games, where I clearly remember people being like, does De Rossi know what he's doing? What is he doing? You know, the constantly changing the lineup. The things we saw in preseason, he wasn't doing them now. What's going on? But it seemed like those things could have still been resolved because there was that the awareness that this is a three-year project. Now, this is what we're doing here now is still a project. But the problem is that the decision to dismiss De Rossi has spiraled things so out of control and propelled everything that is negative about this environment, about the fan base, about the critics, to the surface. It brought it forth, and this team was not built and does not have the personality to withstand this much pressure. And what we're seeing right now is a team that is struggling weekly with pressure, immense pressure that they even felt against Elfsborg, that they even felt against Monza, that they even felt against Venezia. They are crushed by pressure. Tonight was no exception, but there has to be a moment where they wake up. So I'm not going to say the season is lost. Because, you know, the season can always be rewritten. The season can always be picked up at the most random time, at the most unexpected moment. You have the weirdest turnarounds. Just think about that Juve game against Roma in Mourinho's first year. We thought that was the end of the season. Then you went on to win a Conference League. The point is that team lost 4-3 against Juventus.
Yes.
They conceded four straight goals. It was ridiculous. But then what we remember about that season was the reaction that followed. I hope that the reaction for this particular team is just around the corner because this can't go for much longer. It's not sustainable.
Let's just leave it there. Enjoy your week, everyone. Always nice to end on an exciting note. We'll be back later in the week. Yikes. Until next time. Ciao.
Ciao.